Community Connections on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley. And we have with us this afternoon for the next hour, Cindy McLeish, our local MP, opposition deputy leader, and various other positions in the parliament. Welcome, Cindy.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everybody.
It's a while since we've spoken to you because of a couple of different things, and we were off the air there for a little while because until we got this, we'd be able to work remotely. Cindy, since we spoke to you, probably the world has changed dramatically. So what sort of influence has it had on you and your position, Cindy?
It's made me and my office incredibly busy.
Has it?
We've had so many phone calls. Oh, gosh, yes. Absolutely. First of all, the Parliament asked all officers to be shut to walk in traffic. So that was okay because we still deal with people over the phone, by email, on Facebook. And, you know, we have been inundated, as I think every MP has been inundated with phone calls from people trying to navigate the system for various, looking for various bits of information often. So, you know, we try to smooth things out as best we can and help people as best we can. And then on top of that, there's some of the normal stuff that we deal with, like power outages, for example. You know, that's still, and roads, those issues don't go away.
Pardon me. Cindy, apart from, I mean, obviously, and I don't want to get into the political side at all, but obviously for people that are stressed out, particularly financially in that, there is help, isn't there, both federally and statewide, and people should contact people like yourself, their local MP, to find out just what is available too, shouldn't they?
Yes, and we try and send out information widely, and we probably need to send out an update. You know, we email an update, and if people want to get that, if they could, you know, contact my office. And we just provide, you know, the no-spin information, just to try and help people know what to do, what sort of help there is if they're looking for it. I think probably in the last couple of days, things have steadied a little bit. People have probably found their rhythm, got into that bit of routine, and they're not panicking so much about whether or not they're going to be running out of essential goods.
Yeah, I mean, for a while there was a run on toilet paper and all sorts of stuff, wasn't there? But I believe that the stores are starting to get back together again. Cindy, also, out of these sorts of times, you hear some terrific stories, and I'm just wondering if you've had one or two. I was talking to a group the other night, and two of their members live in a retirement village, and they've taken it upon themselves to go around, particularly to the widows who haven't got cars and finding it very difficult to get out, to go around and actually get their shopping list and do their shopping. So have you found much of that going on as well?
Look, absolutely. And people are also responding to the lack of goods, I suppose, you know, and having some people actually donate them. Because what's also happened, because, you know, we've had droughts and a lot of companies have donated goods, but food bank, for example, because supermarkets were really busy, that their excess stock, which often went to food bank, would then, it didn't grow, so it created a real problem for food bank, as volunteers not coming in to help do that. And what that, even though food bank, gosh, it's an enormous organisation in Footscray, enormous sheds, but they help distribute goods around the state, including, you know, to Healesville and Hickey. I assume that they probably do some of that in the Upper Yarra as well, and into Yay. You know, the organisations that run community meals and are there to support people falling through the cracks. You know, their food supplies are drying up because there's less going into food bank in the first instance. So that's caused a little bit of issues. But then some people, you know, I was been in places recently, and someone will walk in and say, look, I've got a whole lot of food that I want to donate, or people donate vouchers and things like that, which is really quite good.
Cindy, could I just ask, and this may be a bit of an unfair question to ask just right off the top, what if people are listening and they want to donate, is it best to donate goods, or is cash still the best way to go?
It depends who you're donating to. So with the bushfires, for example, people were donating all sorts of stuff, and sometimes it wasn't the right stuff. You know, there was I remember being at Wangaratta, and there was so much water that had been donated, but they didn't need water. All the taps were still working. You know, all of the stuff was still there, and so then it has to be stored. So it's a matter of what's needed. Now, if you're donating, for example, to Hickey in Healesville, and one of the things that they do is provide food, that would be good. But then at the same time, they have costs that, you know, with the community transport that gets people to medical appointments and things like that, or they might have fuel vouchers for people. So they need cash as well. So it depends, you know, what you're donating and to whom. And if you want to donate and you've got an organisation in mind, you're best to ask them what it is they want, because it's really not a one-size-fits-all.
Yeah, I was talking to a group last night, and they wanted to go out and start buying a whole lot of clothes at op shops. And I said, well, I didn't think that was much of an idea, really, because you could buy the wrong size. They could have, you know, not what the people want. So in a lot of cases, cash is best, isn't it?
Absolutely. And people can go and, you know, buy from op shops in any case when they reopen.
Yep.
You know, I mean, you've got to think about people were clothed, you know, like a month ago, and it's unlikely that they've just immediately run out of clothes unless that, you know, they are on exceptionally hard times. You know, most of us wear what we wore last winter.
We certainly do. Cindy, one of the losers out of all this at the moment certainly is local business. And you've heard a bit about that, and you've got some good stories about it, plus.
Oh, look, there's some good and there's some terrible stories. You know, for a lot of small businesses, it's a really, really tough situation, because we had a real downturn in January with the bushfires, even though they were miles and miles from the Upper Yarra. You know, I think it was in January, and I'm trying to remember, the visitors to the Tourist Information Centre in Warburton typically were 4,000 for the last 3 or 4 Januaries, and they were 3,000. So, you know, less and less people coming out. And then, of course, the first things to close down were, you know, hotels and cafes and things like that to people coming in. And so then we've had businesses having to reinvent themselves to take away only, and that's been quite interesting. You know, some of them have managed to do that, and others, you know, it's been very difficult. It's really difficult if you've just opened up. But at the same time, you know, other businesses like real estate agents, they're inundated with calls from owners and renters, and even people that have bought and sold. And there's a few complexities at the minute if you're shifting house. It's not so simple. So, you know, we've got all of these things going on for different businesses. And again, it's not one size fits all. And it is so important that we support our local shops, because, you know, if our shops shut down, the vibe of that shopping strip's gone as well.
Yep. And the other thing is too, that we need to, for those that are listening outside of just the straight out Yarra Valley, we need to make mention that once people can get out and start to spend some money, they need to get out, whether it be the Yarra Valley or wherever it might be in the country, particularly into Gippsland, and that where the fires were, don't they? Because they've been hit doubly in some of those areas down there.
Oh, look, absolutely. There's no doubt that the areas that were hit, the northeast and at Gippsland as well, that were hit by fires, do need people to visit. But, you know, equally, if you can't get away, looking to get out in your local community as soon as you can is a good thing. Now, I wanted to just talk about a couple of funny little business adaptations that have managed to, you know, pretty well keep the lights on at a couple of businesses. People know Four Pillars in Healesville, the, you know, making the gin.
Yep.
And they converted very quickly into combining the alcohol with gel or whatever to make hand sanitizers.
Oh, terrific.
And that's really helped them continue to have a purpose and to keep their lights on and keep busy. Equally, the Bortleys, they've done hand sanitizers and surface sanitizers, and they said to my office, because, you know, they wanted to donate them, as did Four Pillars, to organizations, obviously some for sale, but they wanted to donate them to, you know, various schools and charities and things like that. But Leander Bortley did say, we've got plenty of alcohol, so they've got a hand sanitizer. Another place, Dindy Naturals in Yark, that have had a hand sanitizer product for a couple of years, they're actually strengthening the alcohol content so that, you know, it gives that really effective germ kill, you know, much stronger hygienic standards that people are calling for now. So,
there's been some
interesting little things around. Yeah, and I saw one on Facebook last night, a whiskey joint down at Somerville, I think it was. They've changed as well. And I thought, look, it's a good thing, because there's demand at the moment, and we're starting to see how important it is that we can be fairly self-sufficient in Australia without wholly relying on, you know, other countries to deliver certain critical goods.
I think that's one of the things that we've been shown in out of all this, isn't it? That we just need to get ourselves as self-sufficient as we possibly can be.
Look, I was always worried when the car industry shut down, because I thought, you never know what happens in the future, that you'd like to still have that capacity to be able to build a car or a vehicle somewhere in case something happens. And, you know, I guess that we've lost so many businesses, so many of our manufacturing businesses have gone offshore, and it's thinking about what we can do to get those back to make sure that, you know, if something does happen, that in Australia we're in charge of our destiny.
And it's not so much the actual product they're making now, as you say, like the alcohol, people have turned to hand sanitizer, probably never ever dreamed they'd ever be doing that. And the car manufacturer can produce other things if you hit a hard time, can't they?
That's right, and we see people even looking at having a go at face masks, and we've even seen, people in their own homes have made fairly rudimentary face masks, but in some instances that might be enough. It's not the one that does the filtration of all of the germs and things like that, not the hospital grade, but
it's probably good enough for people walking around. Cindy, you wanted to just mention the Warburton Hospital is up for sale.
The Warburton Hospital is up for sale. It's been closed for quite some time, and the owners that had really good plans to make it into a bit of more of a health and wellbeing centre, and with retirement things, they had, you know, quite good plans, but I think, you know, it was just a huge project. So at the moment that, you know, it's up for sale, I believe that quite a number of people have looked at the property, and that there are proposals put forward for the owners to consider. So let's hope that we get a really good outcome for the Upper Yarra.
Yeah, I thought at one stage I was talking about putting different health care organisations in there, weren't they?
Look, it's been a variety of things over the years, and you know, it has been a wellness centre, it's been a rehab clinic, it's even had obstetrics at one point. But I think, you know, it's a very large site, and it's a beautiful property, actually, you know, with lush gardens and well-established, you know, huge, gorgeous trees and things like that. So, you know, if there's an opportunity to do something great, I'd really not like to see it just be chopped up for housing.
Yeah. Has there been any sort of interest, do you know, from sort of either groups or something like that to restart something in there, do you know?
Look, there's been a number of different groups that have gone through with different ideas, and I'm not privy to what all of those are, but I do believe that there was one in the health space.
Oh, that could be good.
And I think people, I think people would really quite like to have something in that space.
Mm. Cindy, just mentioning health, I'm just going off on a different tangent. I just would like to mention that next Wednesday, during Community Connection between 12 and 1, I've actually got Monash Health coming along to talk about mental health through isolation. So I think that'll be a terrific interview, because we do know that some people are struggling very much, aren't they, with this self-isolation?
Absolutely. We know that for a fact, because the numbers of phone calls that are being made to Beyond Blue and to Lifeline have jumped dramatically. And I heard, I think it's a chief psychiatrist, I'm not sure exactly of her title, but she was on with the Prime Minister earlier today and was talking about the mental health impacts, because for a lot of people who can't get out and can't have visitors, you know, like that can't be a good thing. And I know somebody who was turning 100 and the aged care facility wouldn't let anyone in. And I thought, oh, what a fizzer. You know, you would have thought that one person of their family or something might be able to come in and visit, or there might be some, you know, exceptions made. But even though that under the guidelines, somebody could have gone to visit, but the aged care facility itself had made the decision. So, you know, there's a lot of people who will be finding themselves quite isolated through this, and they will need support.
And it's quite... Well, I don't say it's funny, but some people will sit at home for weeks on end and be quite happy. And the minute they're told they can't go,
absolutely,
as soon as they're told they can't go, it becomes a major issue.
Look, I'm sure that happens for some people, but and some people are very comfortable in their own skin to be at home on their own. But others that are really gregarious and need people will find it an enormous struggle. One of the issues that came up too was young people, and there's a bit of anxiety about with young people. We've got kids at school, you know, the kids in year 11 and 12 are quite anxious, but it was said at the Prime Minister's press conference earlier that some of them are very worried about the future and their future and the huge economic burden that might be placed on them and their generation and what it might mean for them. So some, you know, younger people are really taking on some of these, some of the stresses and the big picture issues out there, and you know, it makes it all the more difficult. And the people aren't getting out to the health services, you know, so they're ringing the centres.
Well, which is good. And Greg, I think next week when we're doing that interview, we'll make sure we've got the phone numbers for Beyond Blue and you know, those sorts
Lifeline.
Of all, yeah, Lifeline and all those. We'll do that next week, I'm sure, with when we've got Monash Health on, because one of the things, and I think you and I have spoken about this before, Cindy, that I'm always concerned about before this ever happened, social, what I call social isolation, and particularly it seems to happen particularly more with widows than widowers. Quite a number seem to go into their shell, and they mightn't have a car. The husband's always driven them everywhere, and we find a lot of people, as they're getting older and retired, there's not the need to go out, and I think that's going to be a big problem. I've read a few reports about that, and they say social isolation is going to be a major concern in the coming years, as you know, as our population gets older.
Oh, look, absolutely. And that's why it's so important to have good community mechanisms in place, like, you know, the men's sheds, like Ben's Shed we've got down at Junction. Really important for those organisations to be there, to have somewhere for men to go. And people contribute differently. Some of them might be quite skilled craftsmen or tradies that have retired and can offer more than somebody else who's there for the company, and that's all fine. Equally, you know, the senior citizens clubs and things like that, and councils get quite good at thinking what they can do and how they can support, you know, these organisations going forward, because we've really got to have opportunities for people to get out. You know, the community bus is another really good one too.
Yeah, well, because
people get out.
While we're all working, while you don't think about it, but you're actually with a variety of people, aren't you? You're talking to, and you have to get along with these people day in, day out. But when you retire and get a bit older, well, then it becomes, you know, it's very easy to sit on the couch and do nothing.
And I think a lot of people find that already, just with the socialisation, you know, from going from a large workforce where there's a lot of people always around.
Yep.
And, you know, if you live on your own, you probably think, oh, thank goodness, at the end of the day, you might go home and, you know, really chill out and get away from all your work colleagues. But when you don't have them, And, you know, I've done a lot of conferences on videos. You know, I've had days where it's just been video calls all day. And, you know, it's actually quite exhausting just, you know, being there and sitting in front of your computer screen the whole time. It's depressing.
True. Cindy, I've just got to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more Community Connections with Cindy McLeish. Connections on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley, where it's 14 minutes to 2 o'clock. And I have with me Cindy McLeish. Just a quick mention too, I mentioned earlier that next Wednesday between 12 and 1 we'll have Monash Health, and we'll have a specialist from there coming along talking about isolation and mental health. So I think that'll be a terrific one to tune in. But we're talking Cindy McLeish today. Cindy, you'd like to first of all mention Maureen Hallett in Millgrove.
Absolutely. Many people in the Yarra would be familiar with Maureen Hallett. She's had the news agency in there at Millgrove, and, you know, she pulled up her shingle recently and has entered the world of retirement. Maureen is previously a Yarra Rangers, I think, Citizen of the Year, oldest Citizen of the Year a couple of years ago. And she does a fabulous job anchoring the Millgrove Residents Action Group and getting them to do a lot of really fabulous stuff, which they've done, all made Millgrove look $1 million.
That's terrific. And you always need one of those people in every little town, don't you, to sort of make sure that things get done.
Absolutely. Absolutely, and Maureen's been a real gun for a long time. So, and she was always a happy, chatty person in the newsagent down there at Millgrove. So I wish Maureen all the best in her retirement.
Ah, fabulous. Now, the great outdoors. Yarra Valley's got so many great places to, for people to get out, and we're talking about mental health and that, to get out and sort of blow the cobwebs away. You'd like to talk a little bit about that, please, Cindy?
Look, absolutely. Where we live, you know, around the in the Yarra Valley, whether it's the Upper Yarra or around Healesville, it is a sensational place for the great outdoors, and there's so much to do. And so when people have been, you know, isolated or cooped up inside, you know, you've really got to get out there and smell that fresh air and start moving and get the adrenaline going and get your, you know, blood pumping a little bit, because that also helps you emotionally. You know, it's well proven that exercise has a positive impact on our moods. And, you know, it doesn't matter if you walk, ride a bike, jog, ride a horse, dirt bike, there's a lot to do, you know, in and around the Yarra Valley, and walking distance from a lot of people's homes. And that's, you know, important. And they say when you're exercising, you know, don't go too far from home. And so I think most people in the Upper Yarra would be close enough to the mountain, not the mountain bike trail, they're just the bike trail. Most people would be close enough to that. And that's one of the most widely used rail trails in the state. And now we've just had from Lilydale heading to Yering, there's another trail that's just been opened. It'll get to Yarra Glen one day and around to Healesville. But, you know, there are some really good local options for people to get around to and get out so you're not stuck at home.
And
cold air is often good.
Yep, and we need to mention that, because I still think that just sitting around all day isn't good for you. It's not good for you, your physical ability, and it's not good for you, for your mental attitude either. And it's not much good just sitting watching TV all day, because that's a trip to nowhere, isn't it? Cindy,
it can be. But if you're, you know, a little bit immobile, it can also be your company.
Absolutely. Cindy, I guess...
That's from Yarra Valley FM.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. And particularly this Sunday between 12 and 3 for Music Memories and more. I can't not put that in. Cindy, I guess with a lot of... And I know you're still very busy during the day and you'll be getting emails and all that stuff, but I guess you'll be seeing... over the last couple of months or month or so, you'd have been seeing a lot more of home and home-cooked meals on a personal level.
On a personal level, that's very true. The life of a politician is exceptionally busy, and not just, you know, with work keeping you going, you know, during 9 to 5, but we've often got a lot of before work functions and evening functions. And with everything being cancelled, and I look in my calendar and see all of these events and they're not going ahead. And it has meant that I've been home a little more. It has meant that I haven't had to scoot down to Melbourne as often for Parliament, and it has meant that I've done a lot more cooking than I've done for years.
Oh, that's good on a personal level, eh?
Look, it is, and, you know, I'm on a farm, and there's lots to do outdoors as well, so, you know, we've been, other than when I've been in the office, you know, we've been holed up here pretty well most of the time, head into the Ada shop, and... You know, it's such a lovely setting that it actually feels good to be here. So it's that sort of, you know, the contrast from the busyness of my day sometimes to looking out the window and just seeing the greenery everywhere at the moment. It's quite tranquil.
Cindy, I know we started off with mentioning this, and I'd like to finish up as we're coming to an end mentioning it again. I mean, the local MP is I don't say they're happy to be pestered, but I mean, for people who are frightened, or not so much personally frightened, but they're concerned about, you know, what's available for me and all that sort of stuff. And sometimes they find these websites, particularly some of the older people, not threatening, but very hard to get around. So I guess if people are listening, then they need to talk, whether it be in your area or another area. If they really have concerns about some of those sorts of issues, I guess the local MP is the first person to talk to, because even if you're not there, there's staff and that there to try and direct people into the
That's right. Absolutely. We are very good at directing traffic. Very good at directing traffic. So, you know, if people have any queries about things. And you look what's happening at the minute too with a lot of people, surprisingly a high number of people have the old passbooks through the bank. And, you know, now they're trying not to have so much cash. And for some people that's doing things quite differently and quite scary. And the banks are very familiar with this as being an issue for how some people can't get out and can't take money out and things like that. So they're trying to work with them as well. But, you know, again, if those sorts of things are a bother, just give us a call and we can put you in the right direction.
That's terrific. And the other thing is too that I notice that when I go to do a bit of shopping now, more and more shops are asking you not to pay with cash. They're asking for credit cards. And for some people, as you say, they haven't had credit cards in their lives, and all of a sudden it's almost a necessity in some of these places. So that can be challenging.
Well, that's right. And I think the banks have got a bit of a program at the minute about giving debit cards. So it's actually quite, you know, it's just taking out of your bank account. And people should get quite used to being able to tap and use that, knowing it's coming out of their bank account. But the danger is, you know, you have to know exactly how much is in your account, because you don't want to spend it all and think, oh, I need $100 for this next week, and you haven't got that $100 there next week. You know, you need to be quite mindful of that too.
And that can be a challenge, because when you're spending and it's just coming off a credit card, you don't actually see it coming out of the bank, do you, until you get a statement?
No, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. But, you know, I think in the main, you know, like I do quite a bit of shopping at Yarra Green because my office is there, and you go into the supermarket and people pretty well have adapted to the changes and the distancing and things like that. And, you know, even having the hand sanitizer at the door, people are, you know, really quick to use that as they come in. So, you know, there's some good practices that are being adopted, and you know, I guess what thing that makes us all comfortable is, aren't we lucky we live in Australia?
Absolutely. And the other thing too, that some of these practices might not go away. I mean, I'm not talking to say much the isolation, but I mean, you know, some people don't wash their hands as regularly as they should, but I think maybe some of those practices will stay with us, which is probably very good.
And, you know, in my role as an MP, somebody told me when I was first elected that you shake a lot of hands, make sure you've always got hand sanitizer. So when, you know, there was a big rush on hand sanitizers and stuff, I had it in the car, in my desk, in my handbag, in the bathroom. I had hand sanitizer everywhere. So because I'd just been used to doing it for such a long period of time because of the nature of the job. And so for others, they've got to, you know, get used to doing that. But for me, that was actually quite an easy one.
Fantastic. Cindy, look, unfortunately our time has come to an end. We've enjoyed having you with us again, and we look forward to talking to you on the 4th Wednesday in May between 1 and 2 on Yarra Valley FM 99.1.
No worries. Goodbye.
Thanks, Cindy. See you. Bye.